Before I read it, I just wanted to say, whatever your circumstances are today, how marvelous, how wonderful is our God. The prayer of faith, James 5, 13 to 20. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much, Sarah. So what we have the opportunity to do now is to choose how to continue sort of journeying with that passage. Katie, are people going to follow you out of there? Or so be careful of the car park if you're going out. When the road is rough and steep. I seem to remember that was that's a blast from the past. Anyway, godly play with Katie, stay in here for a sermon or some prayer ministry. I'm going to be sort of doing some teaching on it, and if you'd like to share in it, go next door now. We've got about a minute to move.
Great. Well, let's begin. So Advent, first Sunday in Advent today. Got the candle lit. 4 weeks that is actually not just about the run-up to December the 25th. It's not just about the hectic time of maybe seemingly endless church services, maybe lots of social events, lots of present shopping, food shopping, but also a time that evokes those uncertain, frustrating, but exciting weeks that lead up to a birth. Those times for us as believers that we have the benefit of history and the kind of the overview of the whole journey, that we can look ahead to the expectation of the birth of a king. We can enter into the uncertainty and frustration that maybe Joseph and Mary found as they were in Bethlehem looking for a place to stay. Maybe we can enter into the excitement of the shepherds as they heard the angels sing, and the wonder of Mary as she had those random strange visitors to visit her child. But for now, we wait. So the first question, just to talk to someone who's sitting nearby you maybe, is how do you prepare for Christmas? What sort of things do you do in this time of waiting? Just give you a few minutes to chat about that. Some of you are looking terrified. Maybe you didn't even know that Christmas was coming. Well, maybe there's some resolutions going on around the room. Okay, I really will start to prepare. But as Jean mentioned, we've come to the end of our series in James. And I don't know about you, but for those of us who've kind of been part of this journey for the last few weeks and months, really, that it feels that today's a little bit of a climax. It's a conclusion to our walk through James. And it does, the conclusion is a call to prayer. I think maybe, hopefully you picked that up from the reading, that actually we could maybe summarise this reading as pray. I think we've got some praying hands coming up. At all times, pray. We are given an example of Elijah and of his prayer for rain that we can be inspired by. I guess that's why James put it in there. And then it ends with a kind of outworking of prayer. And then as I was kind of thinking and pondering on these verses, thinking about the call to prayer, what do I think about James telling me that I need to pray? I kind of linked it a little bit to Advent, really. That I don't know if it's just me, but I think it's slightly unlikely. But sometimes prayer can bring up emotions within me. That maybe some anticipation, you know, thinking, oh, God, can you do this for me? That would be really handy. Maybe uncertainty. Oh, I've absolutely got no idea what's happening in my life right now, and I just need to talk to God about that. Frustration, thinking, why doesn't God just do something at this point? And maybe even surprise, because sometimes God answers prayers and that's terribly exciting. And to my shame, I can feel quite surprised by that too. And sometimes, of course, he answers in ways that I'm not expecting. So there's an element of surprise there. And I guess, too, there is, we wait often, don't we, for God. There seems to be something about that as we pray to him. So, with this call to prayer, I just feel sometimes that a sense of inadequacy can arise within me. Maybe I'm just sometimes so conscious of the gap of what I would love my prayer life to be like and the reality of what it actually is. And sometimes there can be kind of guilt induced around that. I can just feel guilty that I don't pray enough. I don't pray at all times. I don't pray when I'm cheerful. I more often pray when I'm sad. And there is sometimes where it just feels as though the words that I offer just feel really clumsy and inadequate. So I just wonder now if we could have the next question. How would you describe prayer? And are there times when you find it easier to pray than others? And can you answer the question why to that? Just have a little think about when you hear this call to pray, what do you feel about that? So as we have gone through James and we're ending up with this call to prayer, I just wonder whether sometimes we can get the wrong end of the stick about prayer and think that it's something that we have to do because we're told to do it, and you do it or you don't, and you feel guilty or you don't. But maybe James is encouraging us to look at prayer in a different way. This is just a little bit of fun, but I got a picture here of a frog on the screen. And it's a good frog, isn't it? I hope you can see it. It's quite a handy picture. If you were to turn that picture just 45 degrees, you get a horse. That's good, isn't it? Yeah, that's really clever. And you can see the frog heading south. And so I'm just wanting to suggest that maybe today we could just have a little look at prayer, and maybe from a slightly different angle. This isn't rock and science. You've probably heard of all this before. So I have a visual aid. And you can, but here it is in real life. So we have a wheel. The thing about prayer is that it involves some sort of faith, you know, faith in God. For us, it's faith in God. So with the eyes of faith, I want you to visualize that in the center of this wheel is God, okay? So the wheel is kind of us, it's our being, it's our lives, it's who we are, and in the center we have God. It feels quite fitting, doesn't it, to have God in the center? And from the center, all it flows out. So we have God. Then we have a rim here. And this rim, of course, is if there were any rubber on this, which there isn't, but it's where the rubber hits the road. You know, if I was to wheel that down the centre aisle, which I'm quite tempted to do, apart from the new floor, this is the outworkings of our life. God in the centre. And so it's what our understanding of God is. That's what comes out here. And really, that's what we have been looking at with James over these last few weeks. The title that Jean gave the series was The Nuts and Bolts of Christian Living. The word authentic came up a few times. Because it's in our lives that the challenge of whether we act with justice or injustice, that's where we see it. It's in our lives that our tongue curses or blesses. It's in our lives that the dynamic between the rich and the poor and our attitudes to that is where it is seen. And it is where we so urgently need godly wisdom in our lives. That's where the rubber hits the road. And that's what we have been looking at in James over these last few weeks. And then, of course, they're the spokes. So there you go. In this wheel, we have six of them. There could be many more. There are some there for you to fill the gap. I wonder what your spoke would be. Because I kind of think in this picture anyway that this is the communication that we have with God. It's going out from God towards us. It's from the us going towards God. And these spokes are kind of give this wheel purpose and strength. Without these spokes, the wheel actually wouldn't be very strong. It wouldn't really be particularly fit for purpose. And so I, for the sake of this illustration, I'm suggesting that each one of these spokes is prayer, because actually at the heart of any relationship that we have with God, there is communication, and I wonder what you came up with in your little groups as you were discussing, but really prayer is about just talking with God, communing with God, and of course there are varying ways in which we do that. So James suggested to us that we prayed when we suffered, and there's that element, isn't there, where we might just be crying out to God for help. To sing praises when we're cheerful, and that can be another spoke. There could be another one which is perhaps silent prayer, just meditating on a verse, or just letting your mind wander where it will, and doing that as an act of prayer, an act of worship. And Jean is in there, and he's teaching about speaking with authority and the words that we use, that through the power that's in the centre, bring healing to people. That's kind of maybe another spoke. So I just wonder, what are the spokes in your life? What are the ways in which you communicate with God and gain strength from that? And I just wanted to share just a couple of other thoughts, really, about the passage. Because, you know, when we read the Bible, I quite like to... There are times when it speaks to us, doesn't it? And it can raise questions in our minds. So I just wanted to address, really, a couple of questions that were raised in my mind. In verse 16, it talks about the prayer of a righteous person being powerful and effective. And that's quite a well-known verse. I can remember that from my childhood, but I knew it as the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's amazing how that sort of language sticks in your head. And James follows it with an example of Elijah. Now, Elijah had prophesied because of the disobedience of King Ahab and the Israelites. He had prophesied that there would be a drought for 3 years, and there was. And then he prophesied that the rain would come, and the rain did indeed come after the 3 years. And the story is in 1 Kings 17 and 18, if you want to look it up. It's a good story. It's really quite powerful. I thoroughly recommend that for a bit of lunchtime reading. But I just wanted to pick up the fact that James points out that Elijah is a man just like one of us. He's a human being just like one of us. Because righteousness in that context doesn't actually mean somebody free from sin. And sometimes we can think of that as righteous. We can think of it as somebody who is sinless, someone who is pure. But actually, in this context, it actually just means someone who is a wheel. Okay, someone who has, with the eyes of faith, God at the center of their lives, and that there is communication between them, and God. That's what a righteous man means in this case. And that gives us encouragement, because actually, you know, obviously, we all have our frailties. And Elijah was just like us, and yet He did this amazing thing. So that's an encouragement for us. And the last thing about wheels is that this is quite nice. It spends its life on my terrace as a decoration. But actually, wheels are so much better when they're not on their own. When actually we have wheels together. So in a car, for example, we have four wheels, don't we? Unless my husband covets the three-wheel Morgan. But basically, they're better when they're together. And at the very end of James, he's talking about, do you know, it's really good if we can encourage one another, if we can share our lives together, if we can be open about our frailties together, if we can just do the highs and lows together, it is so much better. There's something about the unity and the coming together of believers that is really beautiful. And I think maybe we experience that sometimes, don't we, in church, that sometimes it's okay. There's something about coming together and singing together, for example, that lifts our spirits. Somehow it's easier to do. So, wheels, they're okay on their own, but it's better if there's more than one of them. So, as we wheel into Advent, the season of anticipation and waiting, I just want to pray that the spokes, that your spokes, will be the channels of the whispers of God's love into your hearts, your mind, your soul, your rim. Amen.